Today I want to talk about one of the ideas that I think is absolutely necessary if we're going to live to be 120 and healthy. And that is, and this is the topic too, you have to sell something. If we're going to live to be 120 years old, we're going to need certain resources, maybe a whole bunch of them, but money is going to be one of those resources. In other words, we need to be able to have enough money so we can afford to live. I actually believe people die because they can't afford to live. They can't afford food, can't afford shelter, can't afford medical care, can't afford fill in the blank. And then they stop growing, stop living, and then they die. And in order to acquire money, almost all of us are going to have to sell something. There may be other ways to acquire money, but selling something makes the most sense. And selling has a lot of characteristics in the minds of people. You know, we've developed opinions about sales, and unless selling and money were regular topics at our kitchen table and dining room table, a lot of what we think we know about selling, we would have gotten from movies and TV programs and maybe articles that we've read or hearsay. And a lot of it is inaccurate. When I was a kid growing up in a real small town, I did not know anybody who made a living by selling. Sure, I knew retail clerks, but that didn't strike me as being selling. And I didn't know any parent of any of my friends who literally made their living as a salesperson. When I got out of the Army, I still had this point of view that in order to be a salesperson, you had to be very gregarious, maybe loud, maybe obnoxious, maybe pushy, be willing to wear plaids and stripes, and backslapping and that sort of thing. That was not what I was. And consequently, I thought, if I have to be that, I'm out of luck. I can't sell. I can't be a salesperson. And because those characteristics were not very appealing. When I got out of the Army, I had decided I need to know something about business because that's how you can make things happen. If you can understand business, you can make things happen. So I wanted to develop my own business, and I talked to a company and a salesperson who supplied what I would need if I started that business. And so we had multiple conversations, maybe three or four. And basically, they were educational conversations. He educated me on what he could do. But before he did that, I educated him on what I was intending to do, what my business idea was, what my goals were. So it was all about education. And after one of those meetings, I thought to myself, if this is selling, I can do this. I want to do this. Then sometimes later, I was looking for How to Win Friends and Influence People. I came across that book by Dale Carnegie in my mother's basement. This was the house that I grew up in. This copy of the book belonged to my father from maybe when I was an infant. Anyway, I read the book and said, wow, this is so wonderful. It's so wonderful. But reading a book and actually making it part of your life is a completely different thing. You know, how to do that. Anyway, I saw an ad for a sales position that involved training. So I applied, got the job, got the training. And everything was okay. You know, I was learning a little here and a little there. But I noticed that some people would come through the door very defensive. Occasionally somebody was aggressive, but that didn't really faze me. But it was the defensiveness because they couldn't really hear. Occasionally, somebody would come through and respond to me immediately and go, oh, man, I really like you, I trust you, that sort of thing. But I said, how could I break down these barriers? Sometime, you know, maybe days later, I'm thumbing through Time magazine and I come across a full-page ad for Dale Carnegie. They have a training program and it's only about 30 miles from where I was working. And boom. Call, set up an appointment with a sales rep, bring my wife to that coffee shop meeting. We both sign up for the course, and we take it, and it was wonderful. Dale Carnegie said, we'd like you to be a graduate assistant at a future course, which is going to start. And somebody said to me, that worked for the company, you get more out of going through it a second time as a graduate assistant than you did as a paying customer. So we recommend it. And we did it, and it was great. And at the end of that, Dale Carnegie said, or the organization said, we'd like to extend a job offer to you and hire you as a salesperson. Well, I took the job because the sales manager, I had been told by another rep, was fantastic. And if I could be trained in sales by some really effective woman, great at sales, I was all for it. So I took the job. Trouble is, 2 weeks later, that sales manager got promoted, so I had almost no time to be mentored by her. But in the Dale Carnegie programs, one of their products is a sales course. So I was involved in that, and that was cool too. Not as great as the effective communication course, but nonetheless great, and developed friends in that program who are all salespeople. And we used to meet on a regular basis talking about Think and Grow Rich. So that was cool. We established our own mastermind group, met for breakfast early in the morning, Wednesday, for years, actually, 4 or 5 years, and it was fantastic. This idea that breaking down these barriers between people in order to facilitate the exchange of information, that is, to facilitate an energy exchange experience, is not just in the prospect, right? That person's got a barrier around them, and I got to break that down. It's just recently I recognize how self-protective I am. It is, you know, I have this field of force around me that's trying to, like a shell, trying to keep me safe, trying to keep me protected, trying to, you know, build up my fears and misunderstandings and occasionally reality, but a lot of it is misunderstandings from childhood, that sort of thing. And it occurs to me, not only am I self-protective, but most other people seem to be too. And that translates to we're so self-protected, we're so defended, that it prevents us from extending our energy, and it prevents us from receiving energy from other people. So this whole field around us, I'll call it a complex of belief, this whole structure of our beliefs, talking about the dangers in life and how difficult it is and you know, how you have to protect your energy and somebody might take it and it's, energy is scarce and on and on and on. That's why we don't sell. It's why we don't extend our energies. So let's explore the concept of selling a little bit. We know, right, maybe, we know that selling takes on a variety of forms, and it can be initiated in different ways. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a ton of fundraising emails from political candidates. Sometimes I donate, and then pretty soon I get 10 of those emails. So they're selling me on making a donation right now because it's urgent, and we have to fill in the blank. Right? That's one thing. I occasionally go to Costco, and they've got tables set up where you can taste and test things. And so this is, you know, here, have a first-hand experience, taste this, fill in the blank, and see if you like it. And they're right on the shelf right here, and they're priced at, help yourself. That kind of try and buy kind of sales is common. And it's cool. It's cool. If you turn on television, you're going to see all kinds of advertising. So you need to buy this product. You need to buy this product. Be careful. Danger, danger. You know, somebody could break into your home and, right? So they're using fear in order to sell. That's a common strategy. So all of this pushing and drugs and pushing us to buy products and services, to me on TV, ad nauseum, which is what's wonderful about Netflix. You don't have to listen to commercials. And if I were to turn around and go, the examples in daily life go on and on. Just open a magazine and see these little things falling out. And turn the page and go, that's an ad, 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 all designed to sell us something. If selling comes before buying, now some buying, of course, you're going to initiate. You're going to go like, well, I need to go buy toothpaste. But you've already been sold on the idea of brushing your teeth. Somehow you got sold on that, and maybe even on the brand, hence all the advertising back in the day, remember? You know, all these rhymes and musics and stuff are all designed to drive us into buying what they're selling. But let me describe what I think selling is with a one sentence. Selling is the extension of your energy toward a person or a living thing with the goal of having them accept the offered energy and then acting upon it. Let me say that again. Selling is you extending your energy to someone else or something else with the idea that they're going to accept the energy that you're offering, they're going to take it, and then they're going to take action as a result of that energy. You motivate them, you convince them, you whatever it is, that's really what it is. When you think of it, we sell our children all sorts of things. How about brushing the teeth? Brush your teeth after every meal. Brush your teeth before you go to bed. Brush your teeth before you go to school in the morning. We sell that idea. Doing the homework, that's sold to us, maybe. Taking out the garbage. Right? Parents are selling the teenage kids this all the time, maybe successfully, maybe not. Tidying up your room, doing the dishes after dinner, all those things are what we sell children. In those examples, and of course there are lots of others, there's no real monetary reward directly connected to that activity of telling your kids to brush their teeth. Maybe you're going, if they brush their teeth, I'm not going to pay the dentist a whole bunch of money. So that's appealing. You may be thinking like that. Or maybe not. But we do get rewarded. We get rewarded, if it's not directly money, we get rewarded with good feelings. What do those good feelings come from? You can decide. I have a few here listed. When we get our own way, we feel good. Ah, I want my child to brush his or her teeth. She's brushing his or her teeth. I got my way, and I feel good about that. And it gives us increased control of energy flows in life. We all want that, including children. And if our impulse is to help or to protect our children, and we know that if they don't have cavities, if they don't have dental problems, they're going to avoid some pain and suffering, not to mention our expenses, in the future. So that's appealing if we can protect them. And if they've got good teeth and they feel good about their teeth and their smile, that's a good thing. And one of the things from a creation standpoint is I have an idea. I want to bring my idea into physical manifestation. And I have an idea that I want my children to brush their teeth. And they brush their teeth. And I go, okay, that's the physical manifestation of an idea. I like that. I like that. And having a routine, this ritual of brushing teeth before bedtime or in the morning before school or after a meal is a ritual. And it gives stability to life. It reduces the chaos because now we, what are you going to do? Well, it's already done. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to brush my teeth before I get into bed at night. Ah, that's cool. And we put these little anchor points throughout our day that give structure to the way we use energy. They give structure to our lives. And with structure, we feel a greater degree of security and certainty. And that's a good thing. And maybe this is going on for some people, when neighbors see our children and our children's smile and their teeth sparkle like in the TV program, ping, they're like, oh, wow. And then the neighbors are going to go, wow, those people are such wonderful parents. Did you see how shiny white the teeth of their children were? What wonderful parents. And now that's a lot better than being criticized, like, oh, those people, they don't take care of their kids. And we get rejected for our lack of parenting style and skill. And that list is a short list, and you could probably add a bunch to it. The challenge with selling, though, in those examples, selling the kids on brushing their teeth, that's not that difficult. And we can enforce that pretty much. But the trouble with selling for some of us is how we feel when the effects are not positive, right? I'm going to offer you energy. Boom. And if you reject it, you don't accept it, you counterattack, you criticize me, that's when we find ourselves in a difficult situation. Then now our offerings are not only not accepted, but are thrown back in our faces. And if we, and this is very easy to do, interpret our offering as not acceptable, which means we are not acceptable. Now, we can really have some problems selling. We made the offering about us. Therein lies the problem. In some ways, we're always selling. We're always selling. You want to make a point, you want to interject something into a conversation, you're selling it by extending your energy using that definition that I came up with a few minutes ago. We're selling ourselves. I went out to dinner yesterday. I'm in a restaurant. Getting good service is important to me. So I want to sell the waiter. His name was Manny. And I always ask the wait staff for their name so I can address them by name. So Manny wanted to see this one place because everything else was reserved. One of my friends wanted to sit elsewhere, and then I realized, Manny, do you want us to sit where you're putting us because the other seats are reserved? He said, yes. I said, oh, cool. Let's sit here. Come on. And so we sat down. So I'm trying to sell Manny on giving us great service, and he did. Manny is trying to sell us on making us happy, number one, but to leave a large tip, I presume. That might be in his mind. Well, I hope these people tip me well. And so I'm willing to do that if I get what I want. You give me good service, I'll give you a big tip. So you think of that and you go, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. What holds us back from communicating, from extending our energy, is our perception that we're vulnerable. I have to protect myself. Well, if you're shielded, it's hard for you to extend your energy, and it would be for me too. It's because it's like, hey, you're in a case, you're inside of a shell. I know, I'm trying to stay safe. We need to be able to extend our energy little by little until we realize, oh, I didn't die. That wasn't fatal. This is kind of cool. And when you look at all the things that we do, I'll say, telling you my feelings is opening up to extend my energy. I'm extending my energy by having this conversation. That's selling. Telling you my hopes, my dreams, my fears, my failures is opening up to extend my energy. That's selling. And the more you know I'm a human being, the more you're going to go in. That guy's a human being. I'm willing to listen to him. And if we can learn to sell, that is, extend our energy to another without making their reactions about us, that would help many of us sell more. Just think of that. If you could sell what you are passionate about, that is, talk about it, express it, extend your energy, and not worry so much about, do I have spinach in my braces? Or, is my blouse buttoned? Or my fly zipped? Or, my hair in perfect position? If we stop thinking about ourselves so much, we're going to be able to sell more effectively. We can't really deny that, when somebody is listening to us talk, they're providing feedback to us. They're eyes get glazed over, they're rolling their eyes, or they're smiling and nodding their head yes in an affirmative way. We're going to get this kind of feedback, and it's essential to us. We would do it in any kind of conversation. It's like you can't really talk to a wall for very long. That's not much fun. So we do want that feedback. Psychopaths and sociopaths, on the other hand, they don't really care about feedback. They don't care about other people's reactions, feelings. It's like, they're not really people. Only I am a person. You and I don't want to be like a sociopath or a psychopath. We do want to be able to process their awareness, their reactions to us, because that valuable feedback allows us to adjust. We're talking too fast, talking too slowly, talking too loud, talking in terms that are too complex, too simple, whatever. Because I think in terms of awareness, and that's an easier word for a lot of people to understand, because the consciousness, Marianne used to say that to me very frequently. Tom, you may know what the word consciousness means, but most of us don't. So when you use a word we don't understand, it just bounces off our head. I said, okay, how about awareness? Awareness. We have to realize our awareness, and this is a field, I'll draw a stick figure, that's you, put a circle around you, that is really you. I draw a stick figure, that's me, I put a circle around me, that's really me. When our two circles touch, our consciousness, our force fields, our awarenesses are in contact. Oh, that's really what is happening when we're selling. When we engage visually or auditorily, or if we were to touch somebody, we're not about to touch a cashier at a grocery store, but when we make energetic contact with someone, and we do that, I think, by even thinking about them, praying for them, doing a code for them, is we're meeting with our field of energy, their field of energy. It's like, oh, that's what we're doing? My energy is touching your energy, and your energy is touching my energy? Yeah. Have you ever noticed this event? I drink coffee, so I notice it on a regular basis. It's kind of interesting to me. When I pour milk into my coffee, it tends to splash when it makes impact on the coffee. It's like, when we drop a stone into water, guess what it does? It tends to make ripples in the water. And you go, that doesn't seem too unusual so far. No, it's not. But think of those two examples as being energy exchange experiences between two different densities, two different vibrational frequencies. The density of the milk is greater than the coffee. The density of the stone is greater than the water. So when we exchange energy in those ways, there is a noticeable impact on the second energy pattern, which is the water in one case and the coffee in the other. When we exchange energy with people, animal, plants, we can notice how easily we blend or how much resistance there is between those two energy forms, in between those two consciousnesses, yours and someone else's, yours and fill in the blank. In sales training, this statement is oftentimes repeated. People buy from people they know, like, and trust. If you and I know, like, and trust someone, we're going to be more vibrationally equal, which means we can blend better with them, which is, of course, the goal of a salesperson. I want to blend my energy with you. So you can hear what I'm saying. You'd be willing to taste what I'm demonstrating here in Costco. You would be willing to fill in the blank. To sell well means that we would be able to find a way to make people become vibrationally equal to us, or we can become vibrationally equal to them, so we can blend our energies and communicate effectively. Because if they have their walls and barriers up and we have our walls and barriers up, not much is going to be accomplished. Think of this. Ice and snow at some point will become vibrationally equal to running water and, at a later date, to water vapor. Warmth, there's a word. Warmth is a word describing an energy pattern that is a higher vibrational frequency than cold, right? The molecules and the electrons, everything is moving faster, higher vibration, than in a cold circumstance. And higher vibration, warmth, is going to affect ice and snow. Light, how about light? Light can have that same impact, same effect. But the combination of warmth and light, which is another way of saying those two things are going to melt ice and snow. Yep, we know that. And you have known people that you would consider to be warm people. Oh, she's so warm. She's such a warm person. He's a warm person. He's got a warm personality. Right? We know that. We know that. Being warm is another way of saying being demonstratively kind. Their kindness is clear. And, you know, it's not like they're a cigar store Indian where they're not emoting anything. They're demonstrating this kindness, and we label them warm. When we radiate kindness, most people can perceive it. Most people. Maybe except the densest people or the lowest vibration people. And, you know, that's okay too. So let me go back to awareness. I sell awareness. That's my main interest. I want to sell awareness because I think once we elevate our levels of awareness, more possibilities are available to us. Things that were, you know, fantasized about now can actually be manifested, and it's due to awareness. I don't personally believe I sell enough awareness, and my goal is to sell more, which is one of the reasons I'm talking about this. At the root of every situation, we could use more awareness. If we had more awareness in every single situation, guess what? That would result in better feelings about ourselves. We'd have more effectiveness. We could cause more desirable effects. It would feel good. We would be more successful. We'd be healthier. We would be more loving and more loved. And that would be a nice thing. I believe that most people buy to increase their comfort and their convenience. And when you look at what's being sold, it's comfort and convenience. There's some security built into that, of course, where people are like, oh, you know, your house could be broken into. That's not comfort. That's not convenience. Other than, I guess, it's very inconvenient and uncomfortable to have your house broken into. That's fears used to drive those people into the purchasing those security systems. But fewer people realize they should be buying things that help them grow, help them feel nurtured and nourished, and help them nurture and nourish other people. Help them heal or help them to help other people heal. All of those things are important. And of course, people buy for protection as their security systems and all the guns being sold and bought nowadays. Oh, I got to protect my fill in the blank. All of that stuff is designed for protection. And people buy to fulfill their needs and the needs of others, right? I went to the grocery store yesterday and again this morning to fulfill needs. If that energy field around you, I go back to the stick figure with the circle, if that is dissimilar to another person's, the blending connection is going to be slower and more difficult. And if you understand that, and you just go, The other person goes, oh, high alert. They go shields up, like a Star Trek episode, because they all of a sudden become defensive. They like, this person is going to try to sell me something. That fear of being sold something, in certain places it's really very strongly noticeable. Car dealerships, dealing with real estates, or other circumstances like that. But basically, it's a fear of loss of energy and accompanying loss of control. If we controlled everything, we think we wouldn't lose energy, but I don't believe that to be true. And we're afraid of losing money, and we're afraid of losing face, and we're afraid of losing status, and on and on. As a person selling something, that's you and me, we're selling our experiences, our knowledge, our view of life, and that has real value in the world. That's what we need to come to terms with. We have value that the world needs. And we have to consider our own motivations and our emotional states, because otherwise, you know, it's like, why do you have your brakes on? Oh, that's my emotional state of shame or apathy or grief or fear. And those energies and our motivations, you know, this is why salespeople early on in their careers, when they're really hard up for money, it's like, don't show up with dollar signs in your eyes, because the prospect is going to see that and it's going to frighten them, and it makes the whole process more difficult. If you show up to serve, you're going to be better off. So our energies and our intentions, they're going to be experienced by the other person, maybe consciously if they're aware, and unconsciously or subconsciously, at least they're going to process, you know, something about that person. I just didn't feel right about her. I got to go somewhere else. That happens all the time, this gut reaction to this. And if their interpretation is that we're threats to their energy, they will try to defend themselves by fighting us, resisting us, or increasing the distance between them and us, which is flight, of course. And what we're selling is going to be rejected. So if what we're selling, our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding of life, that's valuable, we need to put that out there and allow them to approach it. It's not our job to jam it down their throat. It's our job to express it. Does it fall on fertile soil? We can't really control that totally. We certainly can be aware. You're talking to a wall, you're not going to get much of a reaction. You're talking to a rock, you're not going to get much reaction. You're talking to somebody who's really close-minded, you're not going to get much reaction or make much progress. And if our ego and its driving needs, those four driving needs, are behind what we're doing, we're trying to defend ourselves from criticism, emotional or physical attack. We're trying to finish first in the race of life, be better than them. If we're trying to take the best for ourselves without regard for their needs, and we're trying to hold on to what we want and what we possess without regard to them, our ego needs are going to trigger their ego needs, and then all of a sudden, you know, our energy field and their energy field will be in conflict, because we would have activated their ego, and they would have, like, we're at risk here. This person is a taker, and they will defend themselves. They have to. It's designed into us. To sell effectively, lots of blocks have to be overcome. And I'm talking about blocks that are energetic, and that list could be really, really long. I just made a few points. One thing you have to make, and I believe this to be true, I heard this early in my sales careers, is the first sale that has to be made is the salesperson selling themselves. If you can't sell yourself on what you're offering, you won't make many sales. And that, for us, as information and knowledge salespeople, really is the key point. So this question, is it good to sell? This whole activity, is it good? Is what I have to sell good enough? You know, I don't have four PhDs, and I don't, you know, is what I have good enough? We think small, We think small. Well, you know, I wouldn't buy what I'm selling. And so we project that onto 6+ billion people on planet and assume that nobody else would either. It's like, guess what? It's unbelievable what is for sale and what people will buy and how eager they are for everything. It's a big market. 6+ billion people is a lot of potential customers. And if we're afraid of the reactions of other people, what will they think of me? You know, will I be embarrassed or humiliated? Or we've got to deal with that. That block is having the brakes on. We can fear exposure. I have to tell them something. I have to put myself out there. I have to extend my energy. I have to come out from underneath my shell. I have to stick my neck out. And fearing exposure and disclosure, we think, oh, that's bad. How can somebody know, like, and trust us if we're hiding behind a facade, if we're just covered in a veneer that's inauthentic? That's a problem. This idea of considering ourselves less than instead of equal to any challenge. Maybe at this moment we're not equal to it, but well, you know what? I can work on this and I'll be able to extend my energy. I'll be able to do it. I can grow to be equal to this challenge. That's what we need to work on, move into that direction. Challenge for me and a lot of other people apparently is this need. As soon as it's perfect, as soon as this presentation or ebook or whatever, as soon as it's perfect, then I'm going to reveal it to the adoring public. It will not happen because it will never be perfect. We've got to get to a place where perfect is not the goal, good enough is the goal. And then based upon feedback, we can modify it. One of the wonders of the internet and the digital age is I could put out an ebook at 2 p.m. this afternoon, get feedback from it by 2:30, modify it by 3 o'clock, and I got my ebook is better 1 hour later than it was an hour ago. That is fantastic. It's not like I just printed 10,000 copies with huge spelling errors. It's electrons. There's a whole different thing we've got going for us now. Being willing to do something before we're completely ready. Well, which is kind of a takeoff of that perfection limitation. I got to hold back until I'm perfect. I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite ready. Marianne used to use this expression with me, and she forced the issue too sometimes. She said, if you put a deadline out there, an impending event, on this date you're going to do the following, guess what? It gets done. It gets done. So I had the domain churchofthehealingspirit.org for probably a couple of years. And I'd love to talk about God the way I want to talk about God. No, you know what? I'd really like to talk about God the way I want to talk about God. Yeah. And Marianne one day said, when? When are you going to do it for the very first time? When are you going to do it for the very first time? June 9th, 2009. She's there. Good. Okay. Guess what? It happened. All that talk was just noise. Once she brought me to that, decide on a date, make an impending event, and then everything crystallizes around that. That's cool. Was I ready? I don't know. Did I do it? Yes. So I guess I was ready enough to do it. That's what counts. And I would say this might be the main barrier, that we think we're alone. I'm isolated. I'm just one person. I'm just a small container of information and experiences. I've been alive for only this number of years, and my education is this, and I've lived here, and that makes me really, really little. That's false. this is the reality. We're connected to the source of all things. The source of all that is, we're connected to. We're in it. And it is in us. It's like, oh. So if we want support, we want awareness, the source of all that is has support, is support, is awareness, has awareness. All we have to do is reach out in thought and feeling and ask for enlightenment. I want to know how to, what's the perfect remedy for, what's the answer to this question, what's the solution to this problem. It's available to us. But we hold on to false beliefs. I go to an exercise class that's very rigorous, 3 times a week. On Saturday, it's at 9:30 in the morning. And yesterday, I hurried to it. And as soon as I got to the gym, I went, oh, wow, I forgot to eat something. All I had was black coffee. Oh, I forgot to eat something. Oh, boy, that's... I had stayed up late the night before, so I was like, uh-oh. Normally, I would have had a couple of large tablespoons of honey just to get going, or maybe a small container of cottage cheese. Yesterday, nothing. And so the class began, and as I was running in the class, I said to myself, uh-oh, this is a mistake. I don't have the energy for this. And for a split second, I thought, maybe I should just stop and come back at noontime. Go get something to eat and come back at noontime for the class. And then instantly, I had a different thought. Of course I have energy. Of course I have energy. That's why I'm exercising. I got body fat that I'd be willing to convert into usable energy. Body fat is energy, right? It's energy. I've got energy in my muscles. Yeah, I have energy. And guess what? I'm connected to the divine. Divine consciousness, this all that is right here. I'm taking a breath. I'm breathing. I'm thinking this. I'm opening my mind to the reality of this power. It's like, I can use these energies right now. And you know what? Instantly, I felt different. I felt good. And continued in the class. And it was good. I felt pleased. And I like, oh, that's this. I just bumped into a block and I overcame it. And I realized later on, I was thinking, this belief, not enough energy, must have started with my mother. For her, having 4 young children and being pregnant with me, the number 5, like, and, you know, my father wasn't that much of a help. Like, for a woman to say, I don't have enough energy to deal with a husband and 4 or 5 little children. Yeah, I agree. That you could quickly substantiate not enough energy for that job. But I don't need to keep that belief because I have a different understanding. I have a different level of awareness. I have an awareness of divine consciousness. My mother had an awareness of God, would have been perhaps different than mine, but it would be nice to have had that kind of conversation, my level of awareness today with her level of awareness. Maybe she understood this perfectly later in her life. But to think I don't have access to the resources that I need in order to live to be 120 unhealthy, or to succeed in a title boxing class on a Saturday morning at 9:30, or to believe that I can't sell the wisdom that I've acquired over the course of my life. Silly. The support and the energy that I need in order to do that is available to me. I would say that our beliefs stand in the way of our accessing our good in life. You can define your good any way you want. Whatever you believe to be your good, and that ought to be a very long list, frankly, and if it's a short list, you're listening to lies that you've been told or you told yourself. That long list of your good, it's like, oh, yeah. I just need to open up and allow that. Yep. Our beliefs prevent us from selling something. They prevent us from accepting something. They prevent us from taking our rightful place of a creating, expressive, point of consciousness. And guess what? I think this is probably true of everybody. Hey, you, do your beliefs block you from fully expressing your potential and accessing your good? Uh-huh, yep, yep. And I bet if you talk to 100 people, and people that were sufficiently aware would and could be vulnerable enough to tell you the truth, would say, yes, yes, that's my problem. My beliefs, what I believe about myself and life and God and people, hold me back. That means if we have something to sell that could impact those beliefs, those blocks, we could help people shift them. If we could help somebody shift those blocking beliefs, we would have helped them and we would have helped ourselves. We would have contributed to their well-being. And there's money to be made in exchange for that service. Now, not everybody is ready to buy what we sell, but so, we don't have the ability to sell everybody anyway. We couldn't supply it. We couldn't deliver. So our job is not to control the other people's buying. Our job is to elevate our own mindset and the vibrational quality of what we're selling. It's like, oh, yeah. And the better we feel about ourselves and the journey that we've been on as we've acquired all this wisdom and knowledge, it's like, yep, that's what we need to do. And we can elevate our consciousness so we are better deliverers of a higher quality product. And the way we do that is by changing our beliefs with the help of divine consciousness. Father, Mother, Life, Marianne. I tell you, this is the modified and pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. I've added Marianne for me, in my life, she is the purest expression of love that I've ever encountered. So, Father, Mother, Life, and Marianne, those loving energies, that creative, loving, intelligent power, I want to blend with it and it with me. So, Father, Mother, Life, Marianne, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined. That means really aware. That we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. And as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives, our family, and our friends into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.